Hello, everybody, and welcome to Turn the Page, Season 4, Book 5 of Twist Apply, the Sinister Studios of KESP-TV. How you doing, Raps?
I'm doing incredibly well. Rito, yeah. It has finally arrived.
It's the one.
I think we've earmarked this, like, a couple of times in episodes of, like, hey, ahead, there's, like, one about, like, a TV station that seems really cool, KESP-TV. We're here, baby. We finally made it.
I'll say it is in no small part that I've been looking forward to it because of this cover that is so good. It's so good and just unhinged enough. It's just this kid talking to a microphone, clearly, like, on camera, and there's just a lady in a pantsuit pointing a gun at him in the background. And it's...
Yep.
That's it. That's the whole thing.
She's out of frame, right? We've got like a tight, close frame up on this assumedly comedian's face. It seems like he's telling the end of something quite witty and wry. And she's going to execute him for it.
Yeah. 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 There's like a lot of detail on the gun, too. It's just... I don't know. Oh, I see the title up there. It says, "You're starring on TV tonight, but is it a comedy or a horror show?"
Oh, okay. So we're just in a taping of Eric Andre's show.
Yeah. It's also, there's a little bit of like Joker in there. I thought my life was a comedy, tragedy, etc.
And also like this would be contemporary to those kinds of shows that were shown in Joker specifically. This is definitely that same era down to the bedazzled and sparkled backdrop of curtains.
Very true. But hey, I can't wait anymore. We must go in. Okay, I can wait one more moment to mention that there's a page that says, "For my friend Bessie Heller, 86 years a star," which, love that.
I hope she's still going on strong.
She is. For real. She's just the...
Please stop praying for my friend Bessie Heller. She's getting too powerful.
For my friend Bessie Heller, 126 years, a supernova star. A dwarf star, please stop. You're wishing upon Bessie.
I want to read some future books by Louise Munro Foley, the author of this episode, and that just to be incremented and changed every single time. For my best friend, Bessie Heller, 192 years, a red dwarf.
Yeah. All right, let's do it for Bessie, who's alive and kicking.
Don't read the book from beginning to end. You're about to begin the television career that you've always dreamed about. But before you tune in to the glamorous world of adventure, be warned, KESP-TV may be more than you bargained for. As soon as you turn these pages, you will discover that television is more than bright lights, fame, and free limousines. Danger, kidnappings, espionage are all parts of the programs on KESP-TV. Turn the wrong page, or turn to the wrong monitor, and you could find yourself in the hands of an enemy agent. Get in front of the camera, and your television career could be very short. What happens depends on you. If you get into trouble, turn back and choose a different way out. If you like being a star, keep going. So tune in and find out what the exciting world of television is all about. You're on the air!
Now turn to page two. Apologies for laughing. Just when you mention KESP-TV again, I think that it needs to enter the podcast, the joke you made before we started of KESP. KESP-TV, find out what it means to me, is just a great joke.
KESP-TV, take it out.
It's just something I needed the world to know that you said. That's all.
I thought it was because I was rehearsing saying KESP-TV quite quickly.
That too.
Before we came in.
That also happened.
Well, because the thing is, like, for the people who are on air, they have to say KESPTV so many times that it just trips off their tongue. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't feel naturalistic in the space if you weren't capable.
That is very true. But let's become capable on page two, because we're on the air.
The real world of work is not what you'd imagine. You don't just go to your job every day and collect your money every 2 weeks.
Mrs. Downing's voice drones on. Originally, you thought that the career counseling class would be fun, but it's all been tests, 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 and Mrs. Downing.
The aptitude scores are back, and from the results, I figured 4 students to take part in a work-study program.
This class is dumb, you write on a corner of your math homework. You tear off the note and pass it to Hank in the next aisle.
4 employers have each agreed to take 1 student as part of this project.
Mrs. Downing continues. You glance up with a little bit more interest. That sounds like a chance to skip school. With permission, you look over at Hank. Skip on over to page 3. Hank is listening to Mrs. Downing with more interest as well.
The employers are Drucker's Plumbing, the Mustard Seed Restaurant, Martell's Department Store, and KESPTV.
Mentally, I heard that as Drucker's Plumbing, the Mustard Seed Restaurant, which...
That's a very specific title for a business. You can only plumb the Mustard Seed Restaurant? They need to get real backed up in there for you to be able to actually have some consistency of business.
Yeah, that or it's just like, it's just a restaurant mostly just serves mustard seed, and it's called Drucker's Plumbing.
Ooh, like, I like that too.
Both ways bad, both ways what I heard. Anyway, you sit bolt upright, KESPTV, you'd give your right arm to work there. You can just picture yourself talking with celebrities, doing a commercial, starring in your own show, dreaming of doing a commercial. Wow. Mrs. Downing interrupts your daydream.
Based on your aptitude tests, the students I've chosen are Mary Smurdock, Drucker's Plumbing, Hank Blackwell, the Mustard Seed Restaurant, Nina Nochals, Martell's Department Store, and for KESPE-TV.
You don't believe it. Did she really call your name? No, not yet. She sure did.
Since we can't take time from the school schedule for the project, work days have been scheduled during the spring break.
Part of you groans a little, but just a little. You're willing to give up part of spring break if it means a job in television. You're going to be a star, like Bessie. Shoot over to page 4, star.
I need to say as well, they're capitalizing star in all of these instances.
It is true.
You're going to be a star.
I mean, it feels right, but also it's wrong, but feels right in a way. I'm just surprised it's not also in bold and caps and underlined and italicized.
The asterisk beforehand and afterwards.
This Saturday morning, you report back for work. It's oddly stormy. Black clouds hang over everything, even with the weather report for today saying that it would be clear and sunny weather. The air is as suffocating as a blanket. You walk into the brightly lit lobby of KESP-TV, expecting to see newscasters, camera people, and engineers running around. Strange. Except for the oversized photos of the broadcast crew lining the stark white walls, the lobby's deserted. It's still deserted. Those are pictures. The TV monitors on the walls are black. This looks more like an empty studio set than a bustling television station that you imagined. Why isn't there anyone here? Lost in thought, you trip over the lace of one of your new jogging shoes and sit down at the desk to retie it. That's when you see the memo.
Attention, KESP personnel. Unable to contact career counseling student. Too late to cancel or reschedule.
You frown indignantly. So they tried to cancel you out. Well, tough. You're here and you're not leaving. Behind the desk is a door marked authorized personnel only. If you decide that you're authorized, turn to page 7. If you think that you should wait in the lobby, turn to page 9.
Well, I mean, they haven't canceled. They were unable to contact us.
Yeah.
Doesn't that make us KESP personnel?
I mean, let's find out what it means to us. Let's go. 7. You push open the door and enter a long, wide hall. On the floor, there's 4 trails of colored footprints. Colored footprints that lead to various doors. Green prints to a green door, yellow prints to a yellow door, red to what must be the studio, because a red light shines above the entrance, and a trail of blue footprints disappearing around the corner at the end of a hall. What a dumb idea. It reminds you of your old first grade classroom.
Green to the outside, red to the sink. yellow to the cloakroom, and blue to help you.
The blue ones at the school led to the library corner. You know better than to barge into the studio. Better try one of the other doors. Going for the green, leaf on over to 27. Yellow, be cautious and try page 32. Want to disappear around that corner, take blue and turn to 28. Wait, what?
The blues do lead around the corner.
Yeah, but I think it's just that it feels...
auspicious. Want to disappear?
Yeah, and it also, it feels odd because the other ones are like, ah, green, leaf, yellow, caution, blue, disappear. It doesn't...
Mm-hmm.
Feels almost maybe, like, noteworthy that it's so... It's not following the pattern.
Mm-hmm. What do you want to go with here?
I want to pick red, so... Well,
Same, but unfortunately, we know better, apparently.
I don't. I do not know better. Let me prove it.
Let me barge in. They'll just hit the pause button.
Yeah, I can't save it, Mom. Don't tell her. I can. Okay, green to the outside?
Mm-hmm.
Red to the sink. Okay. Sorry, green prints to a green door, yellow to yellow. Okay, so we don't really have information about them.
No, not necessarily.
I mean, I would guess green room, maybe? The green room?
Sure. Oh, yeah, that would make sense. That would make sense.
We'll see.
In a
we'll
studio.
We'll see if they're clever enough to make it the green room. I kind of want to find out at this point, 27.
Let's leaf on over.
You go through the green door and enter a large, brightly lit room. A trim woman wearing a glamorous silver jumpsuit is seated at a desk, her back to you.
I have a code 472,
she says.
Instructions are on teletype number 4.
She flips her silver blonde hair emphatically. She must be on the phone, you think. Your new jogging shoes are very quiet and you feel as though you're eavesdropping. You start to back out. The strangled screech makes you jump. The woman whirls around, revealing a large gray cat standing on her desk, back arched, ready to spring.
Who are you?
She asks, gathering the cat into her arm.
The career counseling student?
You reply.
I'm sorry if I interrupted your call.
Your voice trails off. You notice she's not holding the phone at all. Who is she talking to? The cat?
I'm so sorry.
She says, smiling.
I just didn't expect to see you. My... boss told, or rather, I told my boss I didn't have time to see you. But as long as you're here, let me introduce myself. I'm Lorena, the news chief and commentator, and this is Argenta, my faithful friend.
The cat purrs as she strokes it lovingly. Wait, what did you say for her name?
Lorena.
Lorena. And her cat haven't flipped you out. Flipped you out by now. Flip over to page 52. My brain did read if they haven't flipped you off.
Don't remember that happening.
Don't remember that happening, so I guess we go to 52. I will say, like, is the lady on the cover wearing a silver jumpsuit? Because I feel like she might.
We'll see if she has, if she's packing heat.
Is that cat perhaps actually a gun? And instead of meow, was it bang?
It was a gray cat, and the gun was gray too.
Checkmate, book. We have you now.
Will wield the cat.
I use cat on Lorena. Grab cat. Use cat. Use cat on Lorena.
It's not time for that, Max.
Look Lorena. Use cat. Look Lorena. Use cat. Oh man. 52.
So let's learn about the wire services,
says Lorena, moving towards a noisy bank of teletype machines.
So these two give us world and national news, and this one has regional news and feature stories. What about this one?
You ask, pointing to an idle machine. You've barely spoken when, with a fierce roar, Argenta leaps at you. Lorena pales.
Number 4 is broken,
she says curtly, taking her cat, quote, from your shoulders. She sets the animal, quote, okay.
She reloads and sets the animal down.
Down on top of the number 4 machine.
It just has an electrical short. Argenta sleeps on it. She thinks it's hers.
There's something fishy about all of this. She was talking to somebody about instructions on the teletype number 4. You notice that the toggle switch is in the off position.
I have a newscast to do now,
Lorena says, looking at the clock.
While I'm gone, don't disturb Argenta. And don't turn on that teletype.
She leaves, and you approach the machine. In one hand is an 18-inch metal ruler that you've taken from her desk. The other hand is curled around the pepperoni stick you have in your pocket for a quick snack. The Argenta hisses and arches her back. Which one of these do you eat? If you turn on the teletype number 4, turn to page 48. Hey, no. If you make friends with Argenta, turn to page 42. I mean,
I think we need to make friends with the gun.
I mean, we can't be without weapon. We must make friends. Mm-hmm. 42, you pull the pepperoni from your pocket and sit down on the floor in front of the teletype. Looking up at Argenta, the cat sniffs suspiciously from her perch, then gracefully leaps down. In seconds, she's climbing into your lap to reach the meat stick in your hand. As you stroke her fur, your finger catches on her collar. Raps, I'm starting to think this might be a cat.
Huh, how so?
We'll read a little bit more. You know what? You're right. I'm getting a little bit delusional. There's a burst of static, and a man's voice says,
"Come in, 329, come in."
I'm assuming, I didn't hear. I'm assuming you said something. Darnell.
Oh, no, I'm surprised that didn't. I hope that came through in the recording. If not, come in, 329.
Startled, you examine Argenta's jeweled neck strap. This is no ordinary collar. It has batteries and wires inside like a radio. Now you know why Lorena wasn't using the phone. She was sending orders to someone on this strange two-way radio. You press down on one of the decorative jewels, the static abruptly ceases.
All right, Snoop.
Lorena's sharp voice cuts the silence.
On your feet. Come with me. I told my boss getting a student in here was a bad move, but he said it would look good for the station if we did some public service. So much for that.
You have no idea how long she's been in the room. And that silver revolver in her hand means business. Wow. She snaps her fingers, and the big cat leaps to her shoulder. See? It's the same thing. She said,
We made an awful mistake. The revolver is silver. The cat is gray. These are completely different entities.
Are you saying she doesn't have shoulder cannon cat right now? Like,
well, we can't rule that out. We don't know if she has another arm, and that arm is the cat.
Yeah, I am picturing her as Blastoise, but cat. Shoulder. It's your move. What are you going to do? Going with Lorena? Turn to page 35. Going to resist? Turn to page 19. She has a, as far as we know, at least one gun.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do? Shoot us, bang.
We haven't done any... Well, bang, bang. Second shot, different gun. We haven't really done anything wrong. We literally just patted the cat. So I really feel like she doesn't have any grounds to execute us on.
Well, see, the thing is, when we went to pat the cat... See, this is making this theory make a little bit more sense. She thought we were reaching for a weapon. Because it's not a cat, she saw us reaching for a gun. Make a little bit more sense now? Sense. Yeah, all right. That being said, if that wasn't true, what would we be doing here? Just humoring it. I'm happy to go with the lady with a gun, or I'm happy to run and see how we get shot.
Yeah, I think we will be shot very quickly if we try to resist it. Do you want to try that?
Sure. Hey. Well, yeah, what's the worst that'll happen? 19. You tighten your hold on the pepperoni stick. Slowly you get to your feet.
It might be a gun too.
When you're almost standing, you fling the pepperoni past Lorena to the center of the room. Argenta leaps from Lorena's shoulder in hot pursuit of the meat, knocking the commentator off balance. You bolt from the newsroom into the hall, colliding head-on with a tall, handsome, dark-haired man with a beard. He says...
Hey!
He says, grabbing your arm.
She's got a gun!
You gasp.
Lorena has a gun!
A frown flickers across his face, and his voice drops to a whisper.
So luscious Lorena's the one I've been sent to get.
He lets go of your arm.
Who are you?
You ask.
I'm Hobart Huckle, Secret Service.
He whispers, flashing a badge.
But this week, don't tell anyone, I'm posing as Hobart Handsome, talk show announcer.
Pleased to meet you.
Great cover, because Hobart was the part of the name that is, not suspicious. Mm-hmm. To keep. It's me, Hobart, of the Dwarven Kingdom. Pleased to meet you, you say?
No time for that.
Snaps Hobart.
Are you the careers counseling kid?
As you nod, you wonder how he knows you.
Okay, kid, listen. You're the only one around here I can trust. I'm deputizing you. Now, listen closely and do exactly what I say.
Okay, kid, turn to page 51.
Luscious Lorena's an enemy agent,
says Hobart Huckle.
She's been sent to sabotage the communication system of the country through the KESP-TV transmitter.
He points to a door marked Keep Out.
If she gets in there, to the transmitter panel, she'll scramble every signal from Vero Beach, Florida to Coos Bay, Oregon. Your job is to keep her out.
How am I supposed to do that?
You ask indignantly.
She's got at least one gun.
She wouldn't dare kill you in there.
Hobart replies.
She knows that might make me suspicious.
I hope so.
You mutter.
Now get back in there and stick to her like glue until I can figure out if she has accomplices around here.
She does.
You say.
She already talks to them through the cat's collar.
Sure, kid.
Says Hobart steering. Why not believe that? Says Hobart steering you towards the newsroom. For a moment, you hesitate and look down the hall at the lobby door. I do want to mention, how am I supposed to do that? She's got a gun. Oh, she wouldn't dare do that. It'd be suspicious.
Yeah, exactly. She might... I might suspect her in that instance. You already,
already do!
Also, I love the energy of...
Now, kid, you're the only person here I can trust. So, what'd you say? Nah, that's probably wrong.
A walkie-talkie and a collar? It couldn't be possible. It'll make them that small. The year is 1984.
A walkie-talkie fits in about three rooms. Now, kid.
Now listen to me.
I want to trust you, but you're telling me that some subterfuge is happening in this area where I'm looking for an enemy agent? Bah, I don't believe it. Humbug.
Well, why don't you make yourself useful and go get shot? Because then I'll know a murder's happened.
That's the only thing I would believe
That'll
at
be
this point.
Real suspicious.
That's the only thing I believe at this point is he's trying to get us shot so that he can witness a crime.
Ah, no, I gotcha. You shot that innocent kid.
Scrupulous figure.
Gonna make another run for it. Dash over to page 68. Gonna give Hobart Huckle the help he obviously needs. Hike over to page 70. I do want to be with him.
Let's do it.
I'm attached to this oaf. Your mother always said you'd never solve anything by running away. You push open the newsroom door.
Stick to her like glue,
Hobart whispers.
She's slick.
He leaves you and heads down the hall of the to the studio. Lorena scarcely looks up when you enter the newsroom. She's seated at a desk typing, and Argenta's off in a corner grooming herself. The gun is nowhere in sight. Oh, man, we might have been had. This is pretty clear evidence that...
That we don't know that cat has a gun yet.
We don't know. You're right.
I'm figuring it out.
Lorena rolls the page from the typewriter and swings around to face you.
Some journalist you are,
she snaps.
If you had a nose for news, you'd have interviewed me to find out why I had a gun. You'll never get anywhere in this business if you run off at the littlest things.
She sounds just like your mother.
I should give you an F.
If... What? Points gun at you. Why didn't you interview me to ask why I had a gun? Wow, kids these days are so jumpy.
These are what the hiring practices used to be in the 70s and 80s. You'd walk into a situation, the boss would point a gun at the prospective employee, and then if you sweat, if you move, if you flinch, if you do anything except stare down that barrel, they're like, look, I don't even want it. You know what?
Yeah.
You don't have the intensity of form that is needed in KESPDV. You aren't ready to flip burgers at Burger Hut yet. Not ready to look down the barrel? Get out of the sunglasses.
If you are going to run away at every little gun that's pointed at you, then you don't deserve to report who the best recipe at the local chili competition is. It's a sweet
grandma. You think they're not
grandma.
Packing?
Yeah, it's just a sweet grandma. Oh, she's not going to reveal the secret ingredient in the chili. I think it's chili powder. Bang! You don't get to know that. Anyways, my secrets, I use a little bit more chili powder. Okay. Yes, ma'am, you reply, wait, hold on. Where am I?
I should give you an F.
She goes on.
But I'll give you one more chance. Rewrite these stories. I need them for the new news. Yes, ma'am.
You reply, taking the news clips from her. You sit down at the typewriter and start reading the top story. You don't get past the first sentence. This is incredible. Incredible or not, all readers should go to page 55. Those who don't, get an F. What? We're just going to do what she says now? Wow, okay.
Well, I mean, otherwise she would be suspicious. And if she's suspicious, she has no reason not to shoot us.
Exactly. You stare at the piece of yellow newsprint.
Hobart Huckle, foreign espionage agent and master of disguise, escaped last night from the federal penitentiary and is believed to be hiding in the area. Huckle outwitted the guards by posing as a warden of the prison. A reward is offered.
You glance over at Lorena, so she thinks you have no nose for news. Well, you'll show her.
I have a scoop.
You announce calmly but clearly.
Really?
She replies in a bored voice, without looking up.
Yes?
You say?
Hobart Huckle, espionage agent and master of disguise, is in this very building, preparing to go on air as Hobart Hansen, television talk show host.
Don't tell.
Again. Because you... That was every... I mean, says Lorena.
That was pretty that dense was pretty, information.
That was pretty... That had everything you could want, Lorena. What says Lorena?
Well, Hobart is a common enough name. You might be confused. Why would you think it's the same person?
All Hobarts turn to page 1 and start over. Everyone else continue reading on page 56. We didn't even
Rito,
get...
Are you a Hobart? Rito, are you a Hobart? Rito, you have to tell me if you're a Hobart!
Hobart! Sorry.
No! Alright, well, I'll meet you on one then. No, Hobart,
This is one of those great situations where it's really convenient that we have two different people, because then one of us can, you know, have one thing be true, like is it a Tuesday or a Wednesday? And then the other person is not.
He's also named Hobart. I'm so sorry.
Shoot, I knew it.
That's me too.
Everyone else continue. Like, just because it seems like we're going to be locked out of the book if we're not a Hobart, which is really just. Why would they do that to all Hobarts? But whatever. Okay. Let's continue.
On behalf of all of the non-Hobarts listening, we'll continue as though we are not a Hobart. For your sake.
Yeah. All right. Also, it didn't even give us the option to not blurt out the Hobart of it all. Like, not even a choice. It was just like, here's everything you would want to know. Anyway, 56.
He told me.
You replied to Lorena.
In the hall. I see,
says Lorena.
So you're saying an enemy agent introduced himself to you in the hall just a minute ago?
You say triumphantly.
That is a scoop, isn't it? That was a minute ago,
says Lorena.
Do you even know where he is right now? He's right here at KESB TV!
You yell.
He's in the studio! I'll find him! Why don't you do that?
She says, turning back to her typewriter.
I will!
You shout, bolting from your desk. You wrench open the door and run down the hall towards the studio. Lorena's silvery laugh follows you. You turn just in time to see her slip into the hall, take a key from her charm bracelet, and unlock the door to the transmitter panel. Tricked.
Stick to her like glue.
Hobart told you. That news release must have been a phony, or was it? Which one is KESP's TV's fallen star? Lorena, turn to page 63, or Hobart, turn to page 71. It does seem like it's got a... She laughed the second we left. She pointed a gun at us. This is a situation where it's like... This is if you're playing a social deduction game, and you gotta be like, let's be honest, Lorena, if you are not the traitor, you have to realize why we're voting you.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those moments. Like, you pointed a gun
so
at me.
Suspicious.
Like, you are doing everything a traitor would do. You have a gun. I saw you vent. What, your engineer. Mm-hmm. Your engineer. A likely story, Lorena.
Everyone's engineer these days. The wrinkle here is that for that to be a fake article, one assumes that Lorena would have been the person to plant it, but she would have had to know that Hobart is here and know that Hobart is the secret agent already in order to have planted that story, because that used his original name.
I agree. I think it's one of those things where, yeah, it feels obvious because of the laugh and the gun, but... One darning piece of evidence I will submit.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't interview her why she has a gun pointed at us. So
that's true.
That's a little bit on us.
She might have had a good reason.
She might have had a good reason for having a gun and also pointing it at us and laughing when we leave with a gun.
You're so, right. It's her. 63.
I'm down with either. Like, I mean, I genuinely, like, that was me saying for real. I don't know. Because it's one of those ones where it feels too obvious that it's Lorena. Mm-hmm. But we'll go down.
I want to see her explanation.
Yeah, this feels like the route that we would go down if this was a movie, for us to get twisted at the end later. Like, oh, you gave him all the information, but actually, like, so I'm willing to fall down like the classic trope possibility.
Mm-hmm.
So regardless, I'm good with this. You turn and sprint back towards Lorena. Your new jogging shoes will serve you well, but not well enough. You're just 3 strides away when a blinding flash of light rips through the control panel.
And that's that,
says Lorena, dusting off her hands.
You tricked me!
You yell.
What else do you have up your sleeve? This.
She replies, slipping a silver gun into her hand.
Now march right back into the newsroom and be quick. Your future's at stake. Hobart's gonna kill us. Us?
You yell.
He's not after me. I'm his deputy.
The words are barely spoken when Hobart appears in the studio doorway.
Don't go with her!
He yells, waving a gun.
Get into the newsroom!
Excuse me, Hobart, could I trouble you for a quick interview? Why do you have a gun? Get into the newsroom.
Can you tell us about the make and model?
Motive for pointing it at me. May I get a quick comment on that? Why... Mm-hmm. Don't like me, you say. Okay.
Because I'm annoying and keep interviewing you.
I see.
Kablam, you say. Got it.
This just in. I'm dying. Get into the newsroom, Lorena says, nudging her gun into the small of your back. Really does seem like we can't win here. There's guns all around.
To turn around and interview her.
Excuse me, staying with Hobart. Turn to page 64, going with Lorena, 73. We get another choice.
He did previously say stick to her like glue, and now he's saying don't go with her.
What?
That is interesting. I think, to be fair, you could explain that away as stick to her like glue to, you know, to figure out more information. And it's like, okay, all right, there's a little too, you know, the iron's hot, so to speak. Get the heck out of there. So...
Let's entertain momentarily, though, the possibility that Hobart is the antagonist.
I think it's for real possible.
Play.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think
in that instance,
that's the twist.
He was asking us to keep her away from something, so maybe that he could interact with it and interfere. So maybe we were meant to keep her busy while he did something else.
Could well be. I mean, I'm down with it. In that event, what is the correct course of action anyways? Staying with Hobart to...
I think it'd be going with Lorena.
Probably.
I mean, she seems to have a plan.
That's true.
At times, the plan has been to shoot me, admittedly. But that's a plan.
It's a plan. We did an interview. Anyways, I'm down to go to 73 because I do think you're right. I'm just going with the twists and turns of the story. That's jazz, baby. You shove open the newsroom door. Once inside, Lorena slips her gun back into her sleeve. Aw.
Hurry!
She commands.
We must block the door. Why should I help you?
You ask, feeling braver now that the gun is out of sight.
Because I'm a special agent.
She snaps, producing an ID card.
Now hurry! He's just going for the others.
The sound of running footsteps in the hall outside makes your decision easy. You put your shoulder to the heavy desk she's shoving and help her push against the door.
Follow me.
She orders, running to the teletype number 4. With urgency, she pushes the switch to on, and you watch as the entire machine swings aside, revealing a steep staircase into a darkened hole. Okay. This is weird. Nobody turned it on before? It's just... Okay, whatever. Mm-hmm. The noise in the hall grows louder, and the desk scrapes the floor as the door is forced open. So it's loud, too.
Go down it!
So it's when it... It's loud, too. When it... Okay. Yeah. Nobody
knows. Let me turn off this...
What's the point?
Let me turn on this monitor. Normal monitor sounds.
Make it get a door then, man. Just make it a locked door then. All right.
It needs the drama. It needs the gravitas.
Yeah.
Something that can only be provided with a shearing sound as two objects slide against one another.
Yeah, I'm just picturing her standing there, like, stoic, looking forward, as it, like, really slowly grinds open, very just like, and she, like, just...
Facial expression unchanging.
Unchanged the whole time. Yeah. Go down, Lorena commands. Argenta jumps from the machine and scampers down the stairs.
Hurry!
Says Lorena. Going? Turn to page 20. Staying? Turn to page 59. They really, I can respect that they're giving us lots of chances to have different different permutations of getting out of this. I will say I really like that. It's giving us choices where they really matter.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, if we've gotten this far, I feel like we should just go.
In for a penny, in for a pound, let's lower ourselves down that hole.
That is the phrase. 100, 100. That's as it's said. As it's said every time.
They cut it short. It's like how blood is thicker than water. Is the blood of the covenant is thicker than the water of the womb? Right. Like it's a longer quote that they just cut down and malformed by having done so. That's the origin. Take that with you. That's a fact.
Yeah. And it's like that's why and to this day that it's just been shortened down to blood's thick.
Thick blood. You know what they say, thick blood.
You know what they say, thick blood, shrug. Ah, yes. I mean, I would know, I guess. Blood, thick. Mm.
You know what they say, bird bush.
Yeah. The pen.
Yeah, you're right. Well-reasoned argument.
The pen.
Oh, yeah. I hadn't considered the pen.
The pen. You lower yourself into the hole. And Lorena scrambles in after you. She pushes a button and the teletype machine slips back over the opening. Angry voices overheard tell you that Hobart and his cohorts are in the newsroom.
Give me a hand,
Lorena says. Up ahead, you see a strange light moving in the darkness. As you're led along, you realize that the glow is coming from Argenta, who is leading Lorena.
Her coat is fluorescent.
Lorena explains. The cat has stopped at a massive door, and Lorena leans down to push a button at the base of the frame. The door slowly scrapes open, revealing a brightly lit room full of people. Some of them look familiar. They're the people whose photos are in the lobby. As you enter, a mighty cheer goes up.
You did it!
You yells a handsome, bearded, dark-haired man.
It's Hobart.
You whisper.
The real one.
Lorena replies, throwing an arm over your shoulder.
Who are these people?
You ask. Who indeed? Introductions are made on page 21.
This,
says Lorena,
is the real Hobart Handsome, and these are the members of the KESP TV staff. They've been locked down here on Friday night when the foreign imposters upstairs moved in. Those imposters are going to use the KESP channel to broadcast classified material. That's why they wanted to cancel my career counseling assignment.
You say? Lorena nods.
Yep, they didn't want anyone around to interfere. When I found out that I couldn't reach you, I knew I'd have to stop them. And look out for you too.
You say? Somewhat miffed and confused about the gun pointing.
You know, I can look out for myself. Of course, dear.
She says, smiling.
If you know what to look for, why didn't they send an imposter for you?
You ask? Hobart laughs. You turn. Standing beside him is another Lorena.
This is the real Lorena,
he explains.
And over there is the imposter Hobart Huckle brought in.
In the corner sits a third Lorena, Hobart says.
We substituted our imposter for their imposter.
Real Lorena, false Lorena, agent Lorena.
Are you kidding?
You say? Okay. I love it. I love it. I love it. There is, okay, what you got?
I love this end panel as well.
Yes.
The descriptions for our direction.
If you understand, turn to page 90. If you don't understand, join the imposters, pretend that you do, and turn to page 90. So, this is the real Lorena. There's an imposter. So, they brought an imposter to convince them that imposter was the other imposter.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, I do understand then, I guess. Yeah,
I get it.
Standing beside him is another Lorena. So this is the Lorena we've never met, and this mm-hmm. is the original Lorena, the real yeah. Lorena.
Yes.
And they've got down here a subdued Lorena.
Yes.
And that is the one they'd substituted. Okay, do understand.
That is bad Lorena.
We can go to page 90 rather than having to go yes. to page 90.
Yes. The Lorena we have been pointed a gun at us was an imposter, but a good imposter that is an imposter of the imposter.
Double agent.
Yeah, I got triple agent. Page 90.
What now?
You ask Agent Lorena?
My chief has help on the way. But you blew up the transmitter!
You protest?
Does anyone even know we're here? Oh yeah.
She replies.
As well as stopping their transmission of classified material, the explosion alerted my superiors. We knew Hobart was going to try and take over a television station somewhere. We just didn't know which one. How long until it will get back on the air?
You ask, thinking about a comedy show you always watch on Saturday nights.
What is it?
Is it S&L with Lauren Michaels?
It's Lorena Michaels. It is me. Huh? Nice to meet you.
Of course.
Nice to meet you. I'm recruiting talent.
I'm the fake Lorena Michael.
There's an auxiliary transmitter down here.
Agent Lorena tells you.
They'll be back on the air in about 10 minutes. You see, this studio was built for protection against enemy attack. Wow.
You say?
What an exciting, glamorous business.
A loud groan goes up behind you from the assembled staff. You turn around, surprised.
It's also a lot of hard,
says the real Lorena.
You don't just go to your job every day and collect your money every 2 weeks.
It's your turn to groan. You look at her very carefully. Could it be that she's possibly Mrs. Downing in disguise? The end.
And take the number of Lorenas down to 2. That's a much more manageable
amount.
That's
a more manageable, normal amount of Lorenas. I gotta say,
this doesn't feel like a good ending.
Really? Because I think the outcome is a joke.
Yes, it is possible that this is the punchline ending. It's just our character groaning at the end. Still, where's our bike? Why are we not prime minister? Come on, that is true. Where's my $1 million?
There is no Stein in the author block, so therefore we are not. We don't have $1 million. No point in this entire book did we meet a gorilla.
No one became an animal.
No one became an animal. We didn't do anything hard. Hard. Let's see. What else? Honestly, the rest of it was pretty close. This ending, I would say, the ending does feel like it doesn't have... It does have the cadence of an R.L. Stein failure state ending. The content and context of it is generally like you have succeeded. This is the situation. You blew up the transmitter. You stopped it. The superiors all know what's going on. We knew Hobart was coming here. We didn't know which one. Yeah, I think it just wraps up everything in a pretty like it will be fine because other people are going to get here and fix it. Kind of energy, which we figured out everything that's going on and theoretically the truth, and we're fine, like everything's fine. So I guess,
and we do still believe that working in television is interesting and unique.
I mean, it's a good ending by like any of these books' standards. I think it is just that the phrasing on the bottom is usually what R.L. Stein would put as a stinger for one that's like a neutral ending. Even though this is, I would say, a good ending. I think this is a good ending and the good ending of our route. I dug it.
Would you like to try for one more ending on the most recent branching path?
I am happy to do that. So let's see, was it 73? 73, I think, was the most recent branching path, right? Which is...
Yes, I think after that we just took orders.
So staying on 59, instead of going down into the tunnel. All right.
Not me.
You say to Lorena.
I'm not going underground for anybody.
You're almost positive now that her credentials are phony, and you suspect that she only wants to use you as a hostage. The desk moves again with an ominous rasping scrape.
Suit yourself.
She snaps, lowering herself into the hole. She pushes a button, and the teletype machine glides noiselessly into place. That's when you notice Argentha's collar on the floor. You pick it up, and Hobart comes in crashing into the room. He stands facing you, gun drawn, expression hostile. In the hallway beyond, you see two armed men flanking the door.
She went that way.
You say?
Forget her, kid.
Hobart snarls.
Just hand me that collar, nice and easy.
You look at the jeweled strap in your hand. Why is it so special, you wonder?
Now!
Snaps Hobart.
Give it to me now, and carefully.
What's the big deal?
You ask, handing it over. Hobart frowns.
I ask the questions around here.
He says.
I want to make sure you're really a student. Got any ID? Empty your pockets.
You don't have much choice. Turn to page 60. You empty your pockets as Hobart watches. Wallet, comb, 3 sticks of cherry gum, a bus pass, 4 raisins, last week's science test, and 72 cents.
Okay, okay,
says Hobart.
That's enough. I believe you.
Thanks,
you reply.
Now what's with the cat's collar?
If these jewels are depressed in a certain sequence,
says Hobart,
an explosive device at one of our satellite stations will be detonated. Then we'd really have a communications problem.
Why did he not believe? Because in this canon, I guess it's seeming like Hobart's good and he didn't believe anything when we said that she was talking to the caller. Why did he say, well, whatever. Okay. All right.
I imagine it's possible we could have gotten here with another path where he hadn't deputized us.
True, 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 true. He cautiously hands the caller out to the men in the hall.
Take it to headquarters.
Hobart orders.
Aren't you going out to Lorena?
You ask.
No, I know about her secret tunnel. My men stationed at the other end. I'm going back to the studio. The auxiliary transmitter's operating now. KESP-TV is back on the air!
He leans over and winks.
I like this television business even better than the FBI,
he says, smoothing his hair.
I'm hosting the evening talk show, and you're gonna do the next newscast, so get to work!
This is it, your TV debut! You're gonna be a star! You hope that Mrs. Downing is watching. The end. Okay, so this is one of those. This is one of those...
Whoever you choose is good.
Alternate realities. Okay, this does feel more like a satisfying end from like a this is just good standpoint, but the other one felt more correct.
It did. This felt quite sudden.
Yeah, it's like, yes, that caller is a bomb. Sorry, this is my my improv exercise. I'm new. It's what it felt like. But yeah, so it's weird. I prefer the other. I'd say, yeah, I go with the other ending as being canon over this one.
Mm-hmm. I want like a halfway. What I want is the latter half of this ending and the earlier half of the other ending. What I want is like, yes, you found the secret subterfuge, the triple agents. We're hiding out down here. The auxiliary transmitter is going to be back up. But also, we see some talent in you. What if you wanted to be like a junior newscaster for us? And then you also get the, I hope Mrs. Downing is watching when I do this kind of sitch.
Yeah, I agree. I gotta say, all in all though, like structurally, story-wise, universe-wise, all that, I really enjoyed this one. I thought it was really good. And it was nice to have this structure that was... It's a similar structure to the Give Yourself Goosebumps, but much longer paths that let you kind of get attached and build up to your pathway canon. I like that a lot. I miss that. And I've been missing it the whole time. Like, that being said, it's been nice to be in the flavor. It's definitely got the same flavor as the Give Yourself Goosebumps. But this, weirdly, feels the most like it, many guns withstanding. I mean, there's guns.
Even more guns than we ended up noting, because in the art shown on page 43, Lorena is not wearing a pantsuit, which means that there is still a pantsuit agent holding a gun somewhere in the studio.
True, you are so right. Yeah, pretty much, I think like all of the drawings, oh, let's see. There's a gun in pretty much every single drawing here.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many. But I really like this one. Plus one to Louise Monroe Foley, who wrote this one. This one lived up to the hype of the cover to me, which was going to be a tall order because this cover is banging. It's so good.
I wonder if Louise wrote any more of
a great question.
The series of twist of plot.
Let's look. Oh, she wrote the Train of Terror. She wrote number
two. Which did feel very, very, very similar in vibe to this.
Yeah, 100%. That makes so much sense. Yeah, she wrote number two. Can't tell if she wrote another one.
I can't see another one that she has.
She did write 9 books in the Choose Your Own Adventure series, including one called The Ghost Train. Maybe she double dipped.
Had enough good ideas for that book that could use them for more than one.
Yeah, that feeling when you just love trains.
Mood.
Yeah. Anyway, in review, I liked it. That's been the old twist of plot. Do you want to say a good old thank you to our lovely Patreon supporter of the episode?
Absolutely. And a special thanks this episode to executive producer... Ah! To executive...
Oh, my God.
No, ah! Sorry.
Don't say it if it's too scary.
It is something scary.
Oh.
In fact, thank you to the executive producer of this episode, Something Scary. Much appreciated for your support over on patreon.com/turn2pagecast at or above the hardcover tier. Of course, we appreciate all of the people supporting the show over there, but the executive producers of the episode are chosen from the hardback tier. This episode, again, Something Scary. Much appreciated.
Thank you so much, Something Scary, MVP of KESP TV. Huge thank you everyone supporting over on patreon.com/turn2pagecast. Any support over there, very, 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 very helpful. It's wonderful to help fund some of the stuff that we do, like the art, the intro music, stuff like that. And, you know, in some situations where we need the books, is very helpful for that too. So huge thank you to all of those lovely individuals. If you want to help in a completely free way, you can help over on youtube.com/@turntopagecast. You can subscribe, like, we upload the videos over there. There's also a comment section if you want to engage with what has been a 100% lovely, boom, 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 certified 100% lovely community over on
it's
the...
a good comment section.
They are pleasant.
Nice comments.
It's true though. It's true.
Cold hard compliments served hot and fresh.
What 100 is?
It's cold and it's hot.
Cold hard compliments. I mean, hey, I get it though. Just right. It's been a very lovely community over there. If you want to be a part of that, that'd be great. Completely free to do so. Likes, comments, all that stuff. Very, very nice. Also, reviews on whatever you listen to it on. If you're listening to it on a podcast streaming service, that'd be very, very helpful. And hey, that's it. That's going to do it here for today. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Adios.